If you have your Bibles, please get them out this evening to the New Testament, Luke chapter number 19. Appreciate the opportunity tonight to preach God's word from Pastor Dan. And Luke chapter 19 is where we will be. And with us just finishing walk through Bethlehem, I decided tonight to do a message really based on one of the characters in Walk Through Bethlehem. This year we were introduced to a couple of new characters, and one included a little tax collector played by some of the boys in our church, like Jacob and Nathaniel and Joseph, and I'm probably missing some. And that character that we were introduced to this year in Walk Through Bethlehem is tailored after the story here in Luke 19 about a wee little man named Zacchaeus. And if you grew up in church, you probably know who I'm talking about, because there's a song that children sing about that wee little man, which I will not sing, but maybe someone else might sing it. But it's about a short man who climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus. And Jesus stopped at that tree, and he personally invited this hated tax collector to follow him. And Zacchaeus accepted, and his life was changed forever. Today, there are those who feel that because of their sinful lives, no one likes them or might not even care about them. But someone does. God does. And Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. If you look with me at Luke chapter 19, go down to verse number 10. It says in verse 10, "For the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "is come to seek and save that which is lost." Go up back up to verse number 1. Verse number 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." Verse 5 says, "And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up, and he saw him," saw Zacchaeus, "and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Verse 6 says, "And he," Zacchaeus, "he made haste, and he came down, and he received Jesus joyfully." Verse 7 says, "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." So here in verse number 1, we learn that the news is that Jesus is coming to town. You know, sometimes in the secular world this time of year, you hear Santa Claus is coming to town. But here in Luke chapter 19, it's not Santa Claus that's coming to town. It's Jesus that's coming to town. And Jesus coming to the city of Jericho, that news probably spread like wildfire, because Jesus was now in his third and final year of his earthly ministry, and no doubt the people in Jericho had heard about Jesus' miracles and Jesus' teachings in other cities in the previous 2 years. And in Jericho, they were quite familiar with miracles, like the miracle in the Old Testament when the walls came tumbling down in the city of Jericho in the time of Joshua. So when they heard that Jesus was coming to town, he was coming to Jericho, you know, many of the people were probably wondering and expecting, what kind of wonders, what kind of miracles is this Jesus going to do here in our midst in Jericho? You know, would he feed the whole town with fish and bread like he did over by the Sea of Galilee? Would he raise someone from the dead like he did over in the city of Bethany? You can imagine that their minds probably were running wild with expectation on what miracle that Jesus would do in their city in his final year of his earthly ministry. But Jesus came to Jericho for a different purpose. He didn't come to perform any miraculous feats as we just heard of, but Jesus came to offer salvation. And Jesus came to offer salvation to an unlikely prospect. And that person was Zacchaeus. You know, in some religions, their version of salvation is only offered to certain individuals. In some religions, salvation is only offered to men. In other religions, salvation is only offered to those of a high caste in the caste system. Or salvation is only offered to those who are selected or chosen ahead of time. But in true biblical Christianity, from the mouth of God, from the mouth of Jesus, from the mouth of the Apostle Paul, salvation is offered to anyone. I had a very interesting week this week, and I was asked this question from a professor at Daytona State College when I was over there this week. And the question was, he asked me whether or not he could get saved or if salvation was only for certain groups of people like Baptists. That was an interesting question. And I told him, we had a detailed conversation, but I told him what the Bible said. I said, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, I said, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is all inclusive. No one is excluded, but everyone can be included. If you look with me back in God's word at Luke chapter 19, verse number 7, it says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he, Jesus, had gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. You see, Jesus excludes no one from the offer of salvation. Zacchaeus was recognized by others, we see in this verse, as a what? As a sinner. Probably a dirty, rotten scoundrel, since it seems as if many people did not like this guy. Look at verse number 7 again. It says, and when they saw it, they, what's the next word? It said they all, this guy was very much disliked from his character and just from the notion of him being a sinner. But aren't you thankful tonight for this truth? It was true back then, and it's still true today. And that is that our sinfulness does not disqualify us from salvation. But our sinfulness is the very reason why we need salvation. Jesus is the great physician, and Jesus did not come to heal the healthy. Jesus came to heal the sick, and he came to heal the sickness of sin in our lives. Sinfulness does not disqualify us from salvation. If it did, Zacchaeus would have definitely been left out. You see, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And tax collectors in his day, they were not like IRS agents today. They were extortionists. They were Jews who worked for the Roman government, who milked as much money as they could from their fellow Jewish countrymen. So you can see why others reacted the way they did when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' home. They all started murmuring and saying, how could he do this and go to that man's house? But again, this man's sinfulness did not exclude him from salvation. Sometimes we tend to write people off that we might consider too sinful. We write them off. They can't be candidates for God's grace. And I was thinking several years ago about a man that I knew that I would consider probably one of the most wicked men I've ever known. He used the worst language I've ever heard. Just about every other word was a bad word and a very bad word. And not only was his language just insane, but he was also cocky, he was arrogant, he was conceited, and he just was plain mean and nasty. I mean, just nasty. And if you were to ask me if that man would ever get saved, I honestly probably would have told you that I had serious doubts that was ever going to happen. And now 20 years later, this wicked, sinful man has trusted Christ as his Savior. And he's a completely different person, loving, forgiving, and he's even sharing his faith with others in Christ. You see, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and Jesus Christ came to save lives, and he's still doing it today. Have you ever said to yourself, man, there is no way that this person is ever going to get saved, and then later that person did, just like the example I gave you? Maybe there's someone in your life, maybe there's a boss, maybe there's a relative, maybe there's a neighbor or friend that needs Christ. The point is, don't write them off. Think about the Apostle Paul. Before he got saved, he was God's chief enemy. He was ruthless, he was hateful towards others, and he was certainly hated by others. But who would have ever known that such a change would take place in his life? But God offers forgiveness of sins today and eternal life as a free gift to us based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And it's offered, as we said, to anyone and everyone, regardless of their past, regardless of their present sinful condition. Anyone can come to Christ as long as they accept him through faith and faith alone. You know, God's offer, the Bible tells us, God's offer of salvation is open to liars, to adulterers, to thieves, to the covetous, and to the disobedient. Any one of us qualify? I think probably all of us would be under the last one for sure. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Salvation, that's why salvation is all-inclusive, because all of us have sinned and all of us need a Savior. And praise the Lord that salvation is just that. But also notice in our passage that salvation also is personal. Salvation is personal. Jesus had one-on-one encounters with people. You know, in Walk Through Bethlehem, in the cross and tomb scene where I serve, we talk about the change that Jesus made in different people's lives. We talk about the change that he made in the lives of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who later became devoted followers of Jesus. We talk about the change that Jesus made in the life of the crippled man. We talk about the change that Jesus made in the life of Zacchaeus. You see, Jesus was about coming into contact with people. And for Jesus, salvation was something personal. Look with me at chapter 19 once again, verse number 5. It says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." It's neat to read this in scripture, but did you notice what Jesus did? Jesus called Zacchaeus by his name. And although Jesus preached to multitudes, many of his encounters were with individuals. They were personal one-on-one encounters, as was the case here. And as with the case of salvation, each person must come to Christ individually. It's been said that God has no grandchildren, only children. Many families, for instance, come together to Walk Through Bethlehem. You have husbands and wives that come together. You have families, parents and children come together, and they all hear the gospel. But they all have to respond individually. In one of the groups Kathy and I had in the cross and tomb scene, I remember looking over in the back row to the far right-hand side, and I noticed a couple that were standing there. And as Kathy and I were saying our parts, you know, the guy was being such a distraction to his wife, and he was talking to her, and he was whispering to her. But the thing about it that I noticed was this, is that didn't faze her. She just stood there, and I noticed that her eyes were fixed on the message that she was hearing. And when we asked who prayed to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior, her hand went up. She was focused on Christ. And I looked at that husband's face when his wife's hand went up, and the look on his face was one of which that he knew that something very powerful just happened to his wife that was beyond his control. Salvation is powerful, and salvation is very personal. People must accept Jesus Christ individually. But also, we notice in this passage that salvation is urgent. Look with me at verse number 5. It says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus." And what are the next two words? Make haste. What's that mean? Hurry up and come down, for when? Today I must abide at thy house. You know, Jesus told Zacchaeus to hurry up, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. And Jesus's call to him had a sense of urgency. Make haste, hurry up, today. And although God is always ready to receive us, there's times in our life that we're more ready to receive other things than Jesus. And there was a story several years ago, I read this, about a husband and a wife that were driving to work one morning and their car broke down. And the husband went out to investigate, popped the hood and see what was going on. But as he got out of the car and as he was walking around the side of the car to get to the front of the car, the car exploded. It triggered an explosion. And his wife was still in the car. And she took the impact of the blast. And they were visited in the hospital by a pastor. And the pastor asked her if she would like to know about how she could have eternal life. And she couldn't talk. But with tears welling up in her eyes, she nodded yes. And this woman recognized the urgency of the call to salvation. And she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And about an hour after the pastor left that hospital, after he led her to the Lord, she lapsed into a coma and she died the next day. True story. This woman, as we said, recognized the urgency of salvation. But what if she thought this? What if she thought, hey, I'm alive. I survived the car accident. I'm here in the hospital. I'm going to recover so I can put God off for now. That window of opportunity would have closed and her destiny would have been sealed for all eternity without Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Zacchaeus, today is the day. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, when Zacchaeus saw Jesus, man, Jesus was just passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. He was just passing through. And Jesus would never, this is his third and final year of his ministry, Jesus would never pass through Jericho again. That window of opportunity was there. And Zacchaeus, just like that lady in that hospital, sees that window of opportunity for salvation. Jesus would never pass through Jericho again. And the time of his earthly departure was near. And Zacchaeus, man, he didn't know this. He didn't know this was going to be the last time, but Jesus did. And Jesus urged him to get down from that tree and make haste and trust him. You know, the devil, Satan the devil, his wish for you if you're not saved is to wait. His wish for those that aren't saved that come to walk through Bethlehem is to wait. Wait. But Jesus' words were to make haste, to hurry up today. God's word in Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. You know, planting the seed at Walk Through Bethlehem is fantastic, but we want to see people get saved. We want to see them turn from darkness into light. We want to see them turn from the power of Satan into God. We want to see them receive forgiveness of sins. We want to see them receive eternal life. And the only time that they may ever hear the gospel could be at Walk Through Bethlehem. And from the response we got from hundreds of people this weekend, it was. I was astonished when we asked the groups in the Cross and Tomb scene to raise their hand if it was the first time in their lives they ever prayed to receive Jesus Christ. That's astonishing that these people, as you mentioned, not only children, but teenagers, young adults, older adults, even 70-year-olds with tears streaming down their eyes, raising their hand, that they had never before prayed in their entire life to receive Jesus as their Savior. When they come to Walk Through Bethlehem, don't take it for granted that they've heard the gospel before, and don't take for granted that they're going to hear it again. The testimony of hand show that many of them never have. The call to salvation is urgent. People not only need to get saved, but they need to get saved today, not tomorrow. And then last but not least, salvation is transforming. Look with me at chapter 19 once again, verse number 6. Verse number 6 says, and he, Zacchaeus, he made haste. He came down and he received him, Jesus, joyfully. How did he receive him? Joyfully. Go down to verse number 8. And it says, and Zacchaeus stood. I like that. Zacchaeus is no longer sitting in the tree, but now he's standing in front of Jesus. And Zacchaeus stood and he said in the Lord, behold, Lord, I like it how he calls him Lord too. He says, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That sounds like a changed man to me. That sounds like a changed heart to me. You know, no one comes to Jesus Christ in perfect shape. As we said, we're all sinners. We're out of shape when it comes to sin. But when you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, if you let him change your life, God will mold you into the image of his son. And Zacchaeus, he responded to Jesus. Jesus said, make haste, come down today. Zacchaeus responded. It says he did make haste and he did come down. And he responded to Jesus and his life was changed. This man who made his living prior to this by deceiving people and fraud announced now that he was going to make it right. There's no record in this passage that Jesus made him do it. Jesus didn't say, all right, Zacchaeus, hey, if you believe me and now your life has changed, you need to do this, 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 and this. Do you read that in there? No, it's not there. Zacchaeus did this because he was a man that was changed from the inside out. And now his actions show that. He had freely received life from Jesus Christ, and now it was natural for Zacchaeus to freely give. And that's what Christ does to you. When you're saved, your life is no more about wanting, but your life's about giving. Because you're modeling your life after Christ's life. I can just picture it. I can picture it from this point forward. I can picture Zacchaeus probably going, he said, I'm going to go. Everybody died defrauded. I can imagine right after this, he leaves Jesus and Zacchaeus goes and he knocks on the door of a little old lady. And he extorted money from her previously. And he knocks on her door and she's at the door and she hears the knock. And she says, who is it? And he says, it's Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And she responds, you took everything from me when you were here last week. Please go away. I have nothing else to give. I'm just a poor widow. And then Zacchaeus says, ma'am, you don't understand. I'm not here to take your money. I'm here to give you money. The money that I wrongly took from you, but I'm going to give you that money back fourfold. And she cracks the door open. I don't have my wallet on me. And he pulls out his bill. He pulls out his money bag and he opens it up. And he takes her hand and he puts that money in her hand and closes her hand up. And this is my imagination, but you know, it might have happened that way. But this woman, you know, I put up my notes, this woman thinks she's hallucinating. And she says, what? What in the world happened to you? And Zacchaeus responds, Jesus. Jesus changed my life. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into the world to change lives. And he's still changing lives today. Zacchaeus made a decision to let Jesus Christ change his heart, change his mind, and change his life. In the cross and tomb scene, sometimes we encounter, as I said, people that are doing various things in there. And the person who's talking to others or the person that's clowning around while you're trying to share the gospel, and you think, man, this person doesn't care about the message of the cross. But then the power of God unto salvation does its work in the invitation, and that person prays to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, validating the fact that God is still working in hearts today. And during Walk Through Bethlehem, children, teens, adults of all ages, they all walk into that cross and tomb scene as sinners, just like Zacchaeus, but then they leave as saved. They come in thinking that no one cares about them, no one loves them, and then they find out that there is a person that does. So they don't have to suffer the penalty of their sins, but they get to receive God's free gift of eternal life. They come to Walk Through Bethlehem empty, but they leave with the greatest Christmas gift they could ever receive. They leave with Jesus. They leave with salvation. Verse number 9, Jesus said unto him, this day is what? Salvation. Come to this house. Verse number 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost, was lost. There's a call to salvation. It's all inclusive. It's personal, it's urgent, and it is transforming. And God is still in the business of changing lives today. Amen? Amen. Amen.